Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Friday, and we're glad you're with us, including all of y'all watching online. Hey, by the way, if you're not familiar, you can check out our website, rightsidemedia.org, where we have all of our stuff, so all of our podcasts, all of our written work, and, oh, by the way, the merch store. So we got the merchandise store right now going strong. In fact, we had to restock some things here in the last few days, but the merchandise store is right there on rightsidemedia.org, where you can buy hats and mugs and t-shirts and my favorite, and y'all got to check this out. Just go look at it for this matter. Just go look at the merch store, the Bulletproof Influence Glasses. So that's one of our phrases here, Right Side Media, Bulletproof Influence. And we have a highball glass with the Right Side Media logo and the words Bulletproof Influence engraved in the glass and a 308 bullet embedded in the glass like it tried to get through but couldn't because it's Bulletproof Influence. All that's on our website at rightsidemedia.org. Check it all out. We got breaking news first. I was about to jump into my next dipper. Breaking news right now is we have a vote on the CR. What was the vote count, bud?
I'm not sure what the final vote count is, but we got 60 to 31 60 to 31 was when they got the 60 threshold. I don't know if they ended up getting more. I don't think that was final. I'm not seeing a final vote count anywhere yet, but the 60 threshold was met.
Okay. All right. So that means funding for the government through September. And right now we're being told, and listen, I'm not a fan of CRs, the continuing resolution. I'm not a fan of just continuing to kick the can down the road and not do true budget and the appropriation process being sort of, you know, just jacked up with this whole continuing resolution. But I do believe, and I said it on the show the other day, I do believe that in this particular case, we didn't have much choice. We just seated the Senate majority. We didn't have the Senate until recently. So we just seated the Senate majority, and we've got the House majority, obviously, barely, and we just seated the executive branch. So the ones who would sign the bill, the ones who have to pass the bill, are just put in place as of January. January 20th, I believe it was. So the bottom line is this. We're not even 2 months in. I think that they have to go through the true regular order of business is what it's called. The regular order of business is that each of the major appropriations committees put together their proposed budget for their portion of the budget. You're going to have defense. You're going to have, you know, any number of other things, ag, whatever else. And they're going to have their particular appropriations recommendations after it has gone through the subcommittee processes. And then the appropriations, literally the budget is put together. Doesn't that make sense? It's like having all the departments of a business submit their reports and they get compiled for the major report. And that has not been happening. So, and then they get a chance to vote on actually balancing the budget. Now, will it be balanced? No, it's not going to be fully balanced, but it's going to be a new budget. It's going to be a true budget, and it's going to have what I believe are going to be some significant cuts, cost savings, getting rid of some of the junk that's currently embedded in our budget, like all the DEI and green new steel crap that's been buried in there. So all that to say, we got to do it. And they say, because the fiscal year will end in September, they say this continuing resolution gives them time now to breathe and begin working on that. The proof's in the pudding. If they don't start doing that, I will be calling them out. Just say it.
I was about to say, well, what are the odds you think that we get to a point where we can get somewhat a balanced budget in September and they don't just say, well, we need one more continuing resolution? You know, I'm hopeful, but I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
With Schumer in charge, I would say we're going to see CRs until he's not there. The fact that Republicans are in charge, it's now their ball to drop.
Yep.
So if it doesn't happen, it is absolutely nothing but a Republican fault.
I was about to say, right now, I understand, but if we come to September and they're saying they need another CR, I may be a little bit more on the Massey side of like, guys, come on.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Absolutely agree. All right, but anyway, but the CR has apparently met the 60-vote threshold for today. It looks like the government will be funded through September. That's going to bring some calm to the markets. We're also going to wind up seeing you know, the ability of Doge to continue its work. I think that's also significant. So what's crazy is the CR allows the savings to take place. Why? Because the CR did have some realignment of certain priorities, and it did away with some non-discretionary spending, but it also plussed up some things like defense and securing the border and that kind of stuff. At the same time, we're also looking at the fact that for Doge to work, government has to be open so Doge can go do its work. So we're going to get to see Doge continue to do its work. Anyway, all that to say, CR passed. Let me jump into Dipper number two. So listen, the border is back, y'all. I got some great stuff here. I got some stats. I got some stories. I got some things. But the first one I want to point out is this. I had to pull this off of NBC New York. I mean, I will go far and wide to find the resources so that you guys don't have to. But the bottom line is I had to pull this one off of NBC New York, but it cites a National Migration Policy Institute report. Get this. And it's the kind of thing you could feel it, right? You could feel it, but now you see the numbers. Numbers don't lie. All U.S. population growth in the years of 2022 and 2023 were solely because of immigration, not births. That's the first time that's occurred since 1850. Are you hearing that, man? The first time since 1850.
I saw that last night, and
that's unreal.
That's such a disgusting stat, truthfully.
It really is. So we increased our population by 3.6%. Every bit of that was for immigration. We grew the population. We didn't grow it. The Biden administration grew the population by 3.6%. That's amazing.
So you said since 1850?
1850 is when they started doing, Census Bureau began collecting data on where people were from.
So we haven't had a full tracking of our immigration since before the Civil War, is what I'm hearing.
No. I'm saying that's the first time that this has happened since 1850. They've never had it happen where immigration outweighed natural birth in the United States. And the population growth in this case, it did. Unbelievable. But yes, there it is. The foreign-born percentage of the United States population is now 14.3% overall. U.S. birth rates reached a historic low in 23, went down 2% from the previous year. In other words, we had a negative net on natural births and new citizens that way, but we had a massive spike in immigration, mostly illegal immigration. Unreal. Is there any reason to believe that the border being secure is not good for America? Unbelievable. Now, before I get into the things that are changing, let me tell you some of the things that we're still seeing the ramifications of, because the Biden border policies, or lack thereof, are still the gift that keeps on giving, if you will. California had better get their act together. I do not think the United States needs to rescue California from its actual ill-fated decisions. And I love California. I used to live there. I love California. What a beautiful state that is. It's called the Golden State for a reason. Y'all, if you've ever spent time there, it's hard to deny that it's got everything you would look for. The weather, the geography, the resources. It's got so many cool things. I mean, it's everything from where they train Navy SEALs to some of the greatest football programs in the NFL history. It's got places like San Francisco, the city on the bay. It's got, you know, up in the north, you got the redwoods. You got, listen, the bottom line is this. California is wonderful. California is in a mess. So because of their willingness to do everything in the world to be a sanctuary state, California is now looking at having to borrow another $3.4 billion to keep its Medicaid program afloat. Why? Because just not too long ago, they opened up their Medicaid program to illegal aliens. Yes, they did. It's been totally exacerbated by the state's decision to extend coverage to illegal immigrants, says Daily Caller, Dateline yesterday. Costs are now spiraling far beyond the initial estimates. When California first expanded its Medi-Cal's eligibility to include illegals, estimates were it would only cost about $3 billion a year. It's only $3 billion. Let's just go ahead and increase our budget by $3 billion. We can do that. No. It's now ballooned to over $8.4 billion. more than double. Come on. But the interesting thing is, if they borrow $3.4 billion, JP, how long do you think that'll last? I'll help you out. It's going to get them through the end of the month.
Okay, I was maybe going to say 3 months.
No. It says, this is Dateline yesterday. It says, if they borrow $3.4 billion, that's the maximum amount they can borrow. It's only going to get them through the end of March.
Jeez.
I mean, they're literally crushing themselves under the weight of debt incurred by being a sanctuary state.
So I think them being so wasteful has desensitized them to how much money that actually is. It's like, just $3 billion. I mean, that's
yeah, like, no, what's a zero?
That's a month. That's a month's budget. It's
just
like,
move
yeah,
the decimal point one over. It's no big deal.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a whole month. That should be able to get you a lot longer than a month. Wake up.
I'll tell you what. We will settle. Right side will settle for half of that, and we'll do great things with it.
I don't know. That's just $3 billion, though, Phil. I mean, come on. How much would $3 billion really get you?
You better take me to a break right now. Take it to a break, brother. We're going to come right back. I'm going to tell you, though, so those nasty things that I'm telling you about, the madness of seeing our population growth entirely based upon immigration. And oh, by the way, places like California having to borrow billions of dollars just to get them through the month because of illegal immigration. Well, guess what? Everything's changing. And I'm going to tell you, the border is back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Did you see, JP, did you see the video of Tom Homan, the border czar, walking calmly through the room filled with protesters screaming angrily at him, just munching an apple?
I did. And it was awesome.
It was so awesome. It was like Doc Holliday cool. I'm your Huckleberry. I mean, I just felt like he was just literally taunting them almost.
Tom Homan's not the guy to do that with, by the way.
No. What? Not to do the what with?
Taunt. And,
oh, yeah, no.
They're not going to get what they want out of that.
Mm-mm. Nope. Tom Homan went and spoke in New York. He went to their state capitol. Protesters came out. We had even had state officials screaming at him, having to be restrained. I think it was Assemblyman, was it Matt Slater? No, he's one of the Republicans. I can't remember what the guy's name was, but he was making quite the scene.
Well, was it the guy who may be running for New York mayor coming up? I saw a clip of a potential guy that'll be running for the mayor of New York that was, his name's slipping my mind too at the moment, but yeah, he was screaming, "Do you believe in free speech, Tom
That's
Homan?
The guy. That's
do you believe
the guy.
In free speech?"
Yeah. Yeah, we do. That's why you're allowed to shout right now, sir. Oh, by the way, that guy ain't got a snowball's chance of being mayor. But anyway, Homan went to the New York State Capitol. Now, this is one of those states that considers itself to be a sanctuary state. So New York state law right now, Fox News here, restricts local and state law enforcement agencies from complying with ICE detainers or from holding illegal immigrants based on their immigration status. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. The state has been so overrun. Mayor Eric Adams has finally begun to see the light, and he's making his play to try and bring things around. But it's just absolutely destroying the Big Apple. It's absolutely destroying New York State. These are state laws. So anyway, he stood right there in the state. I mean, what I will say is this: part of the border being back is there is no shying away from the moment. You know what I'm saying? There is no shying away from the moment. Tom Homan is a part of the Trump administration, which does not shy away from anything. He literally went to the belly of the beast. He went to the state capitol building, which, by the way, is where Governor Hochul works, right? He went to the state capitol building, and in there he renewed his promise to deport all the worst first, he said. And he decried policies like New York has, saying they pose a threat to federal agents. And he told him, he said, "All you sanctuary jurisdictions, you get out of the way or you're going to get exactly what you don't want, which is more ICE agents in your communities." So, and by the way, here's how that works out. If ICE has a detainer and they can go to the jail, they walk in the jail, controlled environment, the person is already there, the person has been detained, and they walk in, put them in cuffs, walk them back out, take them to deportation processes or whatever it is they do. If New York State is going to continue to be a sanctuary and not detain, then what they're really doing is they're releasing people and they're just letting them go. And then they're out on the streets, and then ICE has to go round them up. And then ICE has to do door knocks and even door kicks, and ICE has to go into potentially hostile environments, and we've had plenty of times lately where they've been doxxed. And so the reality is this, it becomes much more hazardous for the ICE agents and for the folks that work in law enforcement, because they're having no choice but to go into a difficult environment to do what could have been a controlled environment process. Right now, though, the border is back. I'm going to tell you more in a minute when we get back from the break, but right now I'll just tell you this. The Department of Justice, Daily Wire here has a story, Dateline yesterday, is launching a criminal probe into New York City hotels that have been accused of sheltering illegal aliens. Listen, I'm telling you, this is a whole new day, y'all. When has anybody walked into the state capital of a sanctuary state and said, you better get your acting gear? I mean, you better get your policies, your laws, your executive orders realigned, because I'm coming. That's never happened before. And now you got the DOJ launching investigations into hotels in the Southern District of New York. You got one called the Hotel Chandler. You got one called the Candler Building. And they've been used as illegal alien shelters. And there's a great deal of fraud and abuse in the funding and management of it. And the DOJ is saying, you know what? By God, let's go knock on that door and see what we find. And that's, to me, that's part of DOJ if you get down to it. But the other part of it is, it's part of cleaning up the enticements that the Biden administration handed to illegals to come here. Now, when we get back from the break, I'm going to tell you, Trump is looking at invoking an 18th century law. What? Yes. You know, sometimes laws get on the books and never come off, but they're not necessarily applicable. But we got a thing. I got a piece from Town Hall, Dateline yesterday. Trump is actually looking at invoking a law that dates back to the 18th century, one that hasn't been used for the most part since then. And he's doing it because border security is real security. And without a border, we all know, without a border, if you don't have a geographic border, you have to wonder, do you have an actual country? That's an important piece. So yeah, I'll tell you when we get back about Trump invoking 18th century law to make a massive move against illegal immigration. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Ah, man, I'm covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville all the way back over to Chattanooga and from Tuscaloosa all the way back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn, stretching across the border way to Fort Benning. Yes, I called it Fort Benning. Fort Benning, Georgia. And even big old patches of Northwest Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, welcome to the final half hour of the third hour of the Friday show. We're getting you guys all the way to go home time. By the way, text lines are open. Don't forget to text us your thoughts as we head into the weekend. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Just got a text from Johanna from Hartsel. And she said, I love this. Send us a picture, too. Says, I'm wearing my Right Side T-shirt, listening to Right Side Radio going down the road. Does that make me a groupie? We'll take it, Joanna. We'll take it. Thank you very much. Proud to have you in the Right Side Ruffian Clan. All right. I'm finishing up this dipper now. The border is back, baby. I mean, the border is back. I got to tell you guys, I got some stats. But what I'm trying to portray for you, first of all, is things that we're still dealing with. Like the Biden administration so hosed the border that it's going to take a while to unpack all this. I told you that the new stats come out in a recent report saying that it was migration that increased the population of the United States, not births at all. In fact, births were at a net loss. We went up tens of millions of people through immigration over the last couple of years. We got California just about to bankrupt its Medi-Cal system because they're being a sanctuary state, giving all medical benefits to illegal aliens. They can't support it. They're having to borrow $3.4 billion to get them through this month. Action's being taken, though, like on a daily basis. Here's this one for you. Townhall.com reporting on what a CNN White House correspondent said in a story that came out yesterday. Trump is presently about to invoke the Alien Enemies of Act of 1798. 1798. Do you know when this was last used? It was last used to evict and deport British citizens in the War of 1812. It was designed to basically say, if we're at war with you and you're hanging out in our country, we're allowed to deport you. Well, that's what's happening, it appears, any time now. Because you may remember during his inaugural address, he invoked the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. He said he was going to direct his government to use the full and immense power of that law to do what he called eliminating the presence of all foreign gangs and criminal networks. So what they're doing is arguing that by declaring cartels and foreign gangs to be enemies of the state, they can then invoke the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. What does that do? I mean, why is that different? Well, because right now, going through the immigration courts is incredibly ponderous. It's also incredibly backlogged. So when you invoke the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, the president can issue a proclamation to order their apprehension, their confinement, their removal, and they are not subject to the same due process, and they don't go through the immigration courts. It's an entirely separate thing. Like, swam. They can get her done. Now, the legal experts that are opposed to it are going to be arguing, well, there's no military invasion, isn't there? Are you sure? Well, the Trump administration believes, and I think this is definitely arguable, that if you declare the drug cartels to be a true enemy of the state, and they are infiltrating our southern border and setting up gang activity in our streets, that qualifies. And we'll see where it goes, but that's about to happen. Here's the other thing, though, I think is great. The border is so back, y'all. It's just, I'm enjoying this. I mean, this is fun to read this stuff out. Because for the last 4 years, I have done so many monologues and dippers on this information, and I've never been able to say what I'm about to say. Border Patrol agents apprehended a total of 8,347 illegal migrants on the southern border in the month of February. Wow. I didn't see that coming, to be honest with you.
Did I catch you off guard?
Yeah, you did.
Keep you on your toes.
About to have some PTSD. Okay. So Border Patrol agents took in a little over 8,300 illegal migrants in the month of February. You know what it was in the month of February of 24? Last year, 1 year ago, the same month? You want to guess? Give me a guess.
Oh, geez.
I'll help you. It rhymes with 140,641.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, my number was not even going to be that high. So
we are at a 94% decrease over this time last year. 94% decrease over this time last year.
It's just that easy.
I thought we had to have special legislation.
I did, too.
I thought we had to have, like, the Republicans had to get on board with the plan. I thought there was something missing. The Republicans were screwing things up. I thought, wait a minute. Oh, we're in charge now, and bam, just like that, border apprehensions are just bottoming out. Nationwide Border Patrol apprehensions, which includes the northern border, were roughly 330 per day in the month of February. We had one month in the Biden administration timeframe where it reached what, like 250,000 in one month? I think it was December of 23, wasn't it? 250,000 in 1 month. My gosh. One CBS reporter, I pulled this off the Populous Times, if I can pull this story up here. Yeah. The Populous Times, Dateline 2 days ago. Left-leaning network CBS News reporter Camilo Montoya Galvez, that's Montoya-Galvez. Never trust a hyphenated name.
Never.
Never. CBS News reporter Camilo Montoya-Galvez became Trump's witness after traveling to the southern border and seeing firsthand the effectiveness of the president's immigration policies. Okay, what does that mean? Well, because this reporter went down there and said, typically, like, when you go to the border, you're going to see groups of people trying to cross, but we didn't see a single migrant. That's crazy. So literally the reporters down there to see what's happening. Remember the massive stories of these like human waves coming to the border? Like you would see strings of people holding hands crossing the Rio Grande together. You'd see, how about when we had the Eagle Pass Bridge and there were something like 10,000 people camped underneath the bridge? I mean, it was just ungodly what was happening.
There would be caravans full.
Oh, absolute caravans. And then there'd be NGOs taking money from USAID to go down there and help feed the illegal mass waves as they move their way north. And what did Mexico do? Pretty much nothing. Now Mexico has its National Guard and military forces on the border. Mexico is assisting on their side. Remain in Mexico has been reinstituted. The southern border is got new walls going up. And suddenly, you got CBS, which would love to ding Trump because that's what they do. CBS reporter down there saying, didn't even see one single migrant while I was down here. That has never happened in the last 4 years, ever. Well, look, the bottom line is this. The border's back, y'all. The border is absolutely back. I got a piece here from Fair U.S., which is the foundation or Federation for American Immigration Reform, I believe. And Fair says, we went down to the southern border during the height of the Biden border crosses. This came out 2 days ago. And reported firsthand about the situation being largely ignored. Said by December of 2023, Border Patrol counters increased 250,000. That's it. It was December 23. I knew I saw that in my notes. 250,000 illegals crossed in 1 month in December of 23. The highest ever recorded in a single month. Several days that month had over 11,000 a day. I mean, think about it. 11,000, 10,000 a day times 30 days in the month and 31 in December. Last week, it says, Fair returned to the border. This time, we went to Arizona and California to document the dramatic changes that have occurred in just the first 6 weeks of the Trump administration. And during our time at the border, Fair spoke with residents who ranch along the border, local law enforcement, government officials, federal immigration enforcement officials, and each one described it as being night and day. Suddenly, you have ranchers that feel safe on their own ranch again. You got one guy who says, his name's John Ladd, he says that there were times when a few hundred illegal aliens would cross the border onto his property on just any given day. All of them got away, just running through his property. I remember you had people who were literally saying they couldn't take the trash out without being armed at their own ranch. And now all of a sudden, the border's back.
May I add one more to the stack?
You may indeed.
So this was about an hour ago. The Senate passed the Halt Fentanyl Act, which classifies illicit fentanyl-related substances as Schedule I drugs and ensures law enforcement that they have the tools they need to stop its flow into our country. So yet another act that of winning at the border. But may I add, 16 Democrats voted against that.
And you look at
that's
low-hanging fruit, guy.
Yeah. It, like that right there is just blindly saying no to everything Trump does. You know, like it's just ridiculous. I mean, I'm looking at the list here. It's the usuals of Booker, Hirono, Duckworth, Bernie Sanders, Schiff,
worthless,
Warnock, and Warren. It's like, guys, there's no way you can spin that other than Trump said it. Trump bad. This bill is bad. Like, you know, who says no to stopping fentanyl from coming in the country?
We're losing like 70 to 100,000 people a year to fentanyl overdoses, largely coming across the southern border.
Yeah.
You know, what's maddening, too, is people will say, well, if you're American people wouldn't have such a demand, we wouldn't have the supply. Bull crap. You're feeding the addiction. You're feeding it. That's like taking an alcoholic to a bar for a night out. It's just like saying, yeah. I got something for you. And so you're basically taking advantage. And if you cut off demand, guess what? I mean, cut off supply, guess what? Demand goes down.
Now, I've used this reference before. If Mexico is launching missiles across the border that was killing up to near 200,000 citizens, we'd declare war today.
Yeah.
But they're doing it subtly through the border, and it's like, who cares?
We wouldn't need a Panama Canal anymore because we'd have carved off half of Mexico and just sailed across it.
But that just puts it into perspective. And so I'm glad that this bill passed despite 16 Democrats saying no. It's just nuts.
16 chucklehead Democrats who just can't get it. Can't not get it. All right, we're taking the last break of the day here on a Friday afternoon. You guys stand by. We will come right back, get a few text messages, and take you all the way into go home. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, brand spanking new in the text lines is Gibby from Tennessee. Gibby, we're glad you're there. Gibby from Tennessee says, we should cut California off from all federal funding until they comply with federal laws and regulations. They are and have been a welfare state for years. Politicians are afraid to enforce or penalize them due to their high electoral count. Cut them off. You know, and what do we have to lose? Because we're probably not going to win that state. But here's the thing. Do it now, because now you got 4 years to prove the worth of doing it now. Gibby from Tennessee, we're glad you're in the mix. Thanks for joining the right side text lines. Jay from Hartsel says, fixing the border, it fixes housing shortage. It fixes housing shortage, it fixes housing costs, which helps with homeless problems, and your 22-year-old won't get out of the house. Who won't get out of the house? Okay. I don't know. There's something going on behind the scenes on that text, I think.
Yeah, maybe he has a 22-year-old that won't get out of the house.
Hey, Shag Nasty the Atheist is there. Shag Nasty, what do you got going on? Shag Nasty the Atheist says, half the Guatemalan immigrants are running away from the longstanding effects of having their government overthrown by the U.S. in the 1950s. Well, you know what? Here's the bottom line there, Shag Nasty. Let's assume for a moment that you're correct. That was the 1950s. So if they can't make things better in 75 years, then perhaps we don't want them here because they're not capable of making societies better. Just saying.
And I don't think that would make it right to let in MS-13 folks from Guatemala to our nation.
Exactly. And why do we care? Trinidad, Aragua, other Guatemalan prison gangs we've got coming up here. Has nothing to do with whether or not they're having a hard time in Guatemala. Never mind. Jeff P. from Arab says, great show, Phil. Just want to wish everyone a safe weekend. Yes, sir. You too. And I'll get to that in a moment, too. John from Huntsville says, JP and Phil both get an A double plus for their equally amazing performances. However, today's winner with an A triple plus is without a doubt none other than the legendary Auburn football coach and senator Tommy Tuberville. I guess some applause to that. That'd be fine. I think that's worthy. Says congratulations. Also, he says, I would just like to say that I hope everybody has already got their severe weather plans and set in stone for tomorrow, because legendary meteorologist Dan Satterfield and one of my college teachers says that if you live in a trailer or a mobile home and your area is under a tornado watch, don't wait for a tornado warning. Find somewhere else to stay for Saturday. Okay, that's a great point. And let me just touch on this for a minute. I think it's worthy of saying this. And so we love this audience. We do. Y'all are the reason why we do this. JP and I could find any number of other things in life to do, but this is our calling. But our calling means nothing if we don't have y'all. We love this audience, and we pray a blessing over all of you. Throughout our entire listening area, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would bless there to be protection, that you would bless there to be due consideration, there would be well-being. Father God, you'd provide for protection for everything they own as well as who they are. And God, we ask you to go before these storms. You calm weather. In Scripture, we know that you calm the storms. You spoke and the storms listened. So, Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you bless this event to calm down and to not be a thing, and that all the right side ruffians out there hearing it would say amen. That being said, you guys, prayer and preparation go hand in hand. That's called stewardship and wisdom. So I agree with that. That was a great text from John about getting ready. If you live in a manufactured home, a mobile home, a trailer, if you live in some place that is less secure, then you need to find alternative places for tomorrow. They're saying tonight's going to be rough in terms of storms, but that tomorrow could be significant in terms of long-track tornadoes. The governor of the state of Alabama has already declared every county in the state of Alabama to be a emergency. She declared a disaster, an emergency for tomorrow for all 67 counties. That allows her, by the way, to mobilize the National Guard in advance and get them prepped. So that being said, you do your part. I strongly suggest that you have your safe place, you have your plan, you have your alert system, and then I would just go ahead and say, you know what, tonight's a great night to check the batteries and the flashlights, to get a few bottles of water and put them in a bag, and to get all your prescriptions, if you have any, and have them ready to scoop them off into a bag and put them in a Ziploc or something, and be able to and get your wallet and your purse and your phone. And if your phone has an extra charging battery, like a spare battery, do those things. Put together your little kit, all right, so that tomorrow You don't have to worry about where it is and what it is. You just get her done. And folks, I'm just telling you, we've seen enough in Alabama's history to know that when they predict this much, that there can be problems. And so while we pray against it, we prepare for it. You know what I'm saying? Pray against it, prepare for it, because I'm just saying, we are in Tornado Alley, and this is the month. So March and April are your times. We love all of y'all. Take care and do the right thing. Roughly Ann from Huntsville just says, go pack your bags right now. Ron from Huntsville says, amen, Brother Phil, on that prayer about the weather. Thank you, sir. And then Shag Nasty the Atheist has something else that I'm not even bother reading right now. The end result is this. It's going to be a good weekend. We're going to get through it, and then we're going to see where we go come Monday. The show will be on. The show will go on. But it only goes on with all of you. So blessings on your weekend. You got some sports to do tonight. I know you're putting together your UMPFO show for tomorrow.
Yep.
So get her done, man.
Watching them as we go.
I'm glad you're pre-recording it. All right. Hey, here's the bottom line. There's more of us than there are of them. God is still very much on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you Monday.